I want to speak for a few moments this morning. I'd like to start in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The first verse on the screen will be the verse from the Old King James, which I prefer for this verse. And then I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Whoever's running the words, it's the last scripture, but I want to read that next. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul makes this very simple declaration to the Corinthian people. And he simply says in the Old King James Version, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Most of your versions will have the word imitate. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. But I prefer, "Follow me as I follow Christ." It is an invitation for followers of Jesus to follow in the footsteps of Paul the Apostle. And I can't think of anyone other than Jesus more qualified for us to follow than the Apostle Paul. And I do want to talk about footprints this morning. I'd also like to read Hebrews chapter 12, the first two verses. It says, verse 1 and 2, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Follow me, Paul said, as I follow Christ, as I follow him. I want to talk about footprints this morning. I thought about some famous footprints of our generation, kind of that we're familiar with. If you're my age, you would probably never forget wherever you were when Neil Armstrong stepped off that Apollo craft onto the surface of the moon and left that boot print in the moonscape there that has gone on to become famous and with the sense that man had accomplished something that President Kennedy had thrown out the challenge, and through a myriad of ways, we were able to accomplish that. And I remember at the time there was a controversy among pastors and churches, and some were very, very for that, others were against that. And all I knew is that as a boy, I never thought I'd see the day that man would be on the moon, but he was. And now it's just something kind of commonplace, I suppose. Another set of footprints that I'm familiar with would be the footprints of who we call Bigfoots. How many's ever heard of Bigfoot, right? As a young boy in Eureka, California, I remember when the, I think it's called the Robinson video came out, or film came out, showing Bigfoot purportedly walking through the woods. And I remember word started getting around town. And I remember someone on the sidewalk says, "Did you hear what happened down at Joe's Market or whatever?" And said, "No." And I overheard this person say, "Bigfoot went in this market and his footprints are all over and tore down signs everywhere, and they're having a 50% off sale to get rid of the stuff." And so we headed down there. I wanted to see where Bigfoot had been. And sure enough, you walked into the store, there was some flour and there was this footprint. And there was some beans and there was a footprint. And signs were torn and the checkers were busy checking because they were selling stuff 50% off. Little did I realize later how naive I had been. It was a ploy to get people into the store. And so the footprints. And then, of course, we've all seen those prehistoric animal footprints that are embedded into the to the sand, to the soil. Those creatures that were left over after the flood. The flood had actually created those. And so footprints are important. And I think the cutest thing, of course, though, is to see Dad's footprints or Mom's footprints and then see a little one try to follow those footprints, okay? But Be that as it may, you and I are following footprints. We really are. Left by the giants of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it lists many of those heroes of faith. It lists Abraham and Sarah, Moses, David, and others, Peter and Paul. And of course, the greatest footprints of all are the footprints of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? That we follow. And so when Paul writes the words in Hebrews, my sense is that Paul wrote them, that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He was really talking about those heroes of the faith who left footprints for us to follow, that we could recognize that they were human beings just like we were. They were men and women who were subject to like passions as we are. They had their weaknesses, and yet incredible faith as they stepped out for God to do wonderful things for God. They left proverbial footprints in the sands of time that you and I can follow as we read the scriptures and know that if God could use them, God can use us. Amen? And so we are followers of those footprints. That's what makes us disciples. Disciples are those who follow those who have gone ahead. And we are disciples of the Lord. And so as we follow those footprints left to us by our spiritual fathers and our biblical fathers, they're pretty plain for us to see. Now, our earthly spiritual fathers also left us footprints, if you will. Let me take just a few moments to briefly share an encapsulated history of the organization that our church, Landmark Church, belongs to. We belong to an organization called Grace International, Churches and Ministries Incorporated. Our parent organization began in 1934 in Long Beach, California, when our founder, O.C. Harms, and his wife founded a small organization in order to send out men and women into the mission field and plant churches. And so from that mother church in Long Beach, California, Colonial Tabernacle, came other churches that started throughout the Southern California area. Men and women felt the call of God. And so they called it California Evangelistic Association, the initial CEA, because it started in California. That was the first name of our organization. But soon, men and women began to talk to our founder and say, I feel led to go to Oregon. I feel led to go to Washington and start churches. And that's what happened here in Battleground. Actually, Brother and Sister Eldred felt led of the Lord to start a little church here. They began meeting in the Eagles Hall in Old Town Battleground. And from that humble beginning, we have what we have today, Landmark Christian Assembly, because someone, our founding pastors, wanted to start an organization or started a church in this area. Now, as the organization grew outside of California, we felt it was necessary to change the name to better describe who we are. We wanted to keep the initial CEA, so we changed the name to Christian Evangelistic Assemblies. We're a Christian organization with the task of evangelism, and we're associated together as churches. And so that kind of described us for a while. But then before you know it, God began to bless, and we began to venture out, not just to the Northwest, but we began to venture out to Texas and Arizona and then across the seas. We began to venture into missionary endeavors around the world, Latin America, India, and South America, Europe, etc. And it dawned on us that we are a worldwide organization now. And so we decided to change the name to what it is today, Grace International, wanting people to know that the grace of God is available to whosoever will. Amen? And so that's who we're a part of, Grace International. Now, these spiritual fathers, our forefathers, as it were, went before us and left us footprints. And I remember men and women of God who started this organization, who had a passion for evangelism and reaching the lost, who had a passion for prayer, with many of them spending 2 hours a day minimum in prayer, seeking the face of God. Men and women who loved worship and were passionate about worshiping God and honoring God and having faith, and just on and on and on. These footprints that were left to us that we're following. And as a young teenager, when I was 16 years of age, God brought me into this organization, and I was able to follow the footprints of those who had gone on ahead of me. And I have to tell you, many times I felt humbled to think that I would walk in the footsteps of some of these giants of the faith, great men and women of God who came before me, came before Cheryl, came before for Sally and John and others. They walked their miles and they left their footprints. Name that may not be familiar with most of you: Norman Clare and Charles Hughes and John Maul, Ed Wyrick, Oscar Harms, to name a few. These were men and their wives who left footprints, and we struggled to try to keep in those footprints and walk as they walked. They were giants of the faith. They were men and women of humility and faith and integrity with fire in their bones. Men and women of God who were not afraid to step out in faith and believe God for the impossible. And as the case of Brother and Sister Eldred, step out in faith and believe that God could have a substantial church in Battleground. And back in those days, people said, "Where's Battleground?" You know, it was just a little hamlet. It was just a little speck. I don't even know if it was a speck on a map yet. But they had faith to believe that somehow God could use them to start a church here. And we are a result of those footprints today. Praise God. Because men and women of God believe that God could use them. And so their footprints will forever be etched into the dust of time and eternity. And we have such a great heritage to follow and be proud of. But now it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility and privilege to follow those footprints and leave footprints of our own for those who will follow us. How many understand today? Everyone in this building right now are leaving footprints for someone to follow. Do we understand that today? You may not be a minister, you may not be a teacher, you may not be in ministry, but you are leaving footprints. And I want to tell you, you're leaving footprints for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your neighbor and your friends. You are leaving footprints for them to follow. The question is, what kind of footprints are we leaving? What kind of footprints are we leaving in the sands of time for people to follow us? And so what a responsibility we have to leave our footprints for those who will come on behind me. Now, my son and my daughter are following in my footsteps, I believe they are. But one thing I want to make clear is that as dad and mom are taking our footsteps and we're following the footsteps of those that went ahead of us, and those that went ahead of us were great men and women of God, but I'm not trying at all to step right exactly into their footprints because it doesn't fit. But in the general direction they're going, that's where I'm going. And my kids coming behind me, I don't expect that they will step exactly into my footprint and try to make it. Because if they do, they're not being who God has called them to be. What I don't want them to do is to go off in some harebrained direction away from the general direction of where God wants. I never want to see that. But I want to say, look, kids, follow me. Here's my footprints. Come along. You don't have to step right in them. You don't have to step right in my footprints. You be yourself. Because my kids, they may have a different way of doing things. They may have a different approach to things. And I'm all for that, because every generation has to leave its own footprints. Amen. But they need to leave some footprints, just like you're leaving footprints for people that are following you. So I thought about this. I thought about footprints. And of course, footprints, I mean, if you're barefoot, you know, there's a footprint you leave. But most of us aren't barefoot. Amber does on worship, and I love that. It's great. But generally, we wear shoes. And so I thought about the kind of shoes that we wear will imply the kind of footprints that we're leaving. Now, if you were to go to my closet in my house and you would look inside, you would see all kinds of shoes and boots and all manner of footwear. And some of it, you'd be surprised probably what's in there. I don't even know if my kids know. There's a pair of cowboy boots in my in my closet. And I don't know that they've ever seen me have those things on, but they're in there. They're in there, and they leave a certain footprint. But I've got other kind of shoes in there. I've got shoes that should have already been given away or thrown away. But, you know, we can use those sometime, right? Anybody understand what that means? We can use those. You know, I might need those someday. And so the closet is just full. And I'm sure Cheryl comes in, looks at it, and just shakes her head. But anyway, be that as it may. But I listed some shoes, if you will, that we probably need to think about wearing as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, because of the road that we have to walk. The first one I thought of is sports shoes. Matter of fact, where is Josh still here? Josh, are you here? Would you come up front real quick? Just run up front. Would you show off those sports shoes that you have? Are those? Show everybody. Show them the color. Hold them up. Hold them up. Okay. Aren't those amazing? Wow. All right. I like it. I like it. Wow. I need sunglasses. When I was thinking of this, I looked up and saw Josh had those on, and I thought, that's a perfect illustration. Why should believers wear sports shoes sometimes? Because we've got a race to run, don't we? Amen? We've got a race to run, to run with endurance. And when you're running the race for the Lord, probably the last thing that you want to have on are cork boots. I'll talk about those in a moment. But you want a sports shoe. So you need to leave some footprints that are made by sports shoes, because it shows people that we're in a race. And how many know this is not a sprint we're in? This is a long, this is a marathon. Amen? The Christian life is a marathon, so we have to pace ourselves. If you try to make this Christian life a sprint, you will wear yourself out really quick. So it's a marathon. We need to take time. And then I thought, we need to wear work boots once in a while and leave some work boot prints, because God has called all of us to do a job for Him. Amen? And if it's being a dad, it's teaching our kids what a good day's work means, what it means to be honest with an employer, what it means to do a good day's job with a good day's pay or whatever, to be faithful. And as Christians, we need to wear work boots sometimes, because it is a job. How many know it's a job following Jesus? Amen? And it's not a slough job, I want to tell you. Being a Christian is not for wimps. Amen? It's not for wimps. It's a tough job, but we got to do it. And then I thought of dress shoes. We need to leave some dress shoes print every now and then. Why? Because I think it is important for every generation to understand what it means to be a gentleman and what it means to be a lady. I believe in our day we are seeing some horrible effects from men mistreating ladies and how they should have been treated. And instead, there's devastated young ladies all over this country of ours, because they didn't know how to treat women with integrity and respect. I think it's time we wore some dress shoes, men, so that we can show the world how to be gentlemen. And ladies, I think it's time for you to wear some dress shoes so that you can teach the younger generation how to be ladies. There's an important part there, isn't there? And then I thought, though I've never been in the military, and I respect and honor those who have, I've never had to wear combat boots, but I thought we need as Christians to wear combat boots every now and then, because how many know this is a fight? Amen? This Christian life is a fight. And so the men's Tuesday morning Bible study source just finished Ephesians, and they talked about the armor of God. We are soldiers, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. And so every now and then we need to put on our combat boots and leave some imprints, some footprints, if you will, showing those who are following us that it may not be easy, but it's the battle that we're going to win, because Jesus won it for us on the cross. Hallelujah. Boy, we do people a great injustice if we say, come to Jesus, accept Him, you'll never have another trouble in all your life. No, to be very frank with you, come to Jesus and get ready to fight. Right? Come to Jesus, and when you come, put on your combat boots and get your gun, get your shield, get your sword, get ready, because you're going to have a fight. Because how many know the devil doesn't want to let go? right? So you got to fight him. And then I thought about this, and I learned this on a Sunday morning several years ago. They are called flip-flops. But my generation called them thongs. So I was preaching one Sunday morning, and I mentioned about wearing my thongs, and you could see people just going, oh, no. My kids went, oh, no. And I didn't know. That's what we always called them. But then, Dad, they're called flip-flops. Thongs are underwear. So I got that straight. We need to wear flip-flops once in a while and leave some flip-flop marks in the sand, because it is important for those following us to know that we need some times of rest and relaxation and getting away, because Jesus set the model for that, did he not? When he was tired, when he was weary, he would get away by himself. He would resort away. He would retreat away. And so I think it's important that those following us know that there's also a responsibility to take care of ourselves and to get away and just put on some flip-flops and anyway, on and on and on. And then I thought, yeah, we need to wear sandals too so we can live like Jesus lived. Amen. Jesus no doubt wore sandals, and so that speaks of walking where Jesus walked. And though I've sold many of them, my first job out of high school was a shoe salesman for JCPenney. Cheryl's as well. She was the youngest employee JCPenney ever hired, because of how a good student and DECA and salesperson she was. So she and I worked in the same JCPenney store. And had we been married, we couldn't have done that, because it was against the rule at the time. But in Coos Bay, where we came from, we sold lots of cork boots. Now, if you're not familiar with cork boots are the boots that loggers would wear. And they have metal spikes in them so they can get on trees, they can limb them, and they can be out in the woods and not slip and fall. So cork boots are boots that have metal cleats on the bottom of them. I've sold lots of them to loggers. And I thought of that because, you know, we need to be able to live for Jesus in any condition and not lose our footing, right? We need to be able to be solid. And to me, the best illustration of a good cork boot is this word of God. This will not let you fall. Hallelujah. It'll not let you fall. And so we need to leave some footprints like cork boots, if you would. And then I wrote down rubber boots. Why did I do that? Now, I wore a lot of rubber boots because I worked on a dairy farm. And I want to tell you what rubber boots do. They'll keep your feet from being messy in the literal sense of the word. We'd put on the rubber boots, bring in the cows, milk the cows, run the cows out to pasture, and then you've got all what's left after the cows show up. And it's, you know, it's manure. And so you wear the rubber boots so you can get rid of the manure. And how many know that in this Christian life, sometimes you get into some messy situations? Hello? And sometimes it's kind of stinky. Hello? And sometimes if the church doesn't handle it right and they start airing their dirty laundry to the world, then the world looks in and says, terrible church, terrible church. Well, the truth is, the church is not made up of perfect people. The church is made up of human beings, and we all make mistakes, and we face challenges. That's why we need to put on some rubber boots so that we don't become messy along with the mess. Amen? So that we can clean it up through the love of Jesus and the love of God. Amen? So we wear sometimes and leave footprints of rubber boots. And finally, I put down hip waders, hip boots. Why? Well, sometimes the mess gets that deep. But no, my real thought here was that many times God calls us to go deeper than we have ever gone before. Because, you know, a good fly fisherman knows that if you're going to catch the big one, if you're going to catch the prize, you got to get off the bank, right? And you got to use the hip waders, and you got to get out to some of those pools and cast your flies there. And so, Lord, take us deeper in you. And on, you could think of some, I'm sure, that I haven't included. But let me talk for a moment about the Bible characters that have left us footprints in the sand. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. And I call these muddy footprints. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And as I'm following Paul, I see some muddy footprints. Because he had to deal with some muddy things. Things got a little dirty. Not every church he wrote to, but the majority of churches Paul wrote to, he wrote a number of reasons, but one of the reasons was to correct some dirty stuff. Some stuff that was getting all mixed up. As a matter of fact, the communion passage in the book of 1 Corinthians was written specifically to deal with some dirty stuff. Because after Jesus had established communion, what we know as communion in Matthew 26, by the time Paul had established churches, there were some very carnal Christians in the city of Corinth who had really messed it up. And their love feasts had become drunken orgies and gluttonous opportunities for the poor to be neglected and the rich to have their heyday. And Paul writes the passage in 1 Corinthians 11, 10 and 11, specifically to deal with some abuses and some dirty stuff was happening. And that's why he said, when you come together to the table of the Lord, remember this, that you are coming to remember what Jesus Christ did. It is not to eat and get drunk and to overeat. It is to bless what Jesus blessed. So if you're going to drink, you do it at home. If you're going to be a glutton, you do it at home. But when you come to the table of the Lord, when you come to the love feast, you invite the poor and the rich together. You bring your food and you let others go before you so that this can be a demonstration of God's love. And he corrected that problem. And when he did it, he got a little muddy in his footprints, but he corrected the problem. Amen. Come on. Because human beings can foul stuff up, right? All right, just ask any dad who's tried to put something together without reading the directions. We can do it. So in Galatians chapter 6, Paul says in verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you which are spiritual, restore a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, anybody is capable of being overtaken with a temptation. And so we need to be ready in the footprints of Paul to deal with that brother or that sister, to help them get through that. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How many know when you bear one another's burdens, sometimes it gets a little messy? I remember the junior camp where we took the kids down to the river years ago. And this one little kid was having so much trouble, I picked him up, put him on my shoulders, only to realize he had messed his pants. Now, there's no way I'm going to tell anybody. I'm not going to embarrass this old guy. So I just kept him there. And I asked Jesus for the grace, and for my nostrils to be plugged. And I got that little kid back to camp and got another helper, and we cleaned him up. No one knew any different. But I'll tell you, I knew. It was messy. But we helped bear one another's burdens. We took care of him. Amen? Would anyone like to be a camp counselor this year? Bear one another's burdens. Verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. There's a responsibility we have to leave footprints for those who follow us, even though it gets a little muddy sometimes. And let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And then it goes on, and the important lesson in this one is that sometimes there may be muddy footprints because Paul had to deal with some dirty stuff. But that's okay. Paul is still headed toward the cross because that's where he took every situation. He took it to Jesus. Amen? Hello? He didn't take it to the neighbor next door. He took it to Jesus. Come on. Took it to Jesus. Though I won't look it up right now, Matthew 27, 26, we see bloody footprints. Jesus was taken, he was scourged, he was beaten, the cross piece of the cross was put on his shoulder, and as Jesus made his way from Pilate's judgment hall to down the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha, you could see bloody footprints from Jesus bleeding. He stumbled beneath the cross, and they compelled one called Simon the Cyrene and said, "You carry his cross." And I've always envisioned, as Simon was pulled out of the crowd, the cross was put on him, Jesus was ahead of him, struggling toward Golgotha. Simon was following bloody footprints all the way to Golgotha. And friends, you and I follow bloody footprints because Jesus Christ died for us, and we need never, ever forget that. Amen? Amen. And so, bloody footprints. And then sometimes we see messy footprints. David the king is an example. And then sometimes there are footprints that we don't recognize. Unfamiliar footprints ahead. Evidence that sometimes I'm called to go into an area that I may not have ever been before. But as long as I trust that the footprints ahead of me are good ones, I can go into the unknown knowing Jesus knows all about it. Amen? I know when we came to Battleground and we started building this church, I knew nothing really, virtually nothing about building. I knew some things. I had some men and women around me who were more knowledgeable, but all we knew is that we were out of room in the annex. We were out of room and we needed a building. And that God had said, go that direction, and so we went. And we followed footprints of those who'd gone before us. And it was a struggle. You that were here back in those days, you remember it was a fight trying to get money to pay for the bills and the trusses and the this and that. But I want to tell you, when it was all said and done, the footprints that I followed sometimes were unfamiliar. It was unfamiliar room to me, a road to me. But I knew that God knew what he was doing. And now looking back on it, what I can say is that I thank God that I followed the footsteps of Jesus, and that we as a church followed his leading, that we could build this debt-free, and that today there stands here a building. It's not the most beautiful building in Battleground, grant you that, but it is debt-free. We owe nothing because God helped us all along the way and provided miraculously to build a building without going into debt. And I thank God because we follow the footprints. Amen? And you're recipients of that today. You're enjoying the benefits of this because others went before us, and I thank God. And the next phase, whatever that will be, I've turned that over to Eddie and said, Eddie, whatever the next phase is, that's you. And I hope I've given you good footsteps to follow, how to be trustworthy to the Lord, how to be faithful, not to be stupid. But, don't make my mistakes, because I made plenty, I want to tell you. So, you do it the right way. But that's up, that may come, and I may be here, I may not. I don't know. Who knows, if the Lord will take me home before that. I don't know that. But what I know is that I'm trying to give them good footprints to follow. But it'll look different than what I did, and that's okay with me. Amen? Yes. Amen. Now, that's not a prophecy. I'm not prophesying at all there. Now, let me close by rereading Hebrews 12. I started with it. I want to finish with it. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, both our spiritual fathers and the biblical fathers and mothers, that we follow their footsteps, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Hold up, Jan, just one second, if you would, dear. Just one second. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let me ask a question. What weight is it that's causing you not to leave the footsteps and the footprints? What sin is it that's stopping you from leaving the good footprints in the sand? You say, Pastor, that's the way it's been for quite a while with me. I haven't been leaving good footprints. You know the good news with footprints? You can start right now. Because everyone here is going to take a step. Amen. If not, you're going to stay here all by yourself. And if you're here, I'll give you the code so you can clean the building while you're here. Every one of us is going to take another step. So there's no reason why we can't say, Lord, help it to be a good one. Amen? Amen. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If we're going to put footprints down for others to follow, our kids, grandkids, our great-grandkids, our neighbors, our friends, if we're going to leave footprints for them, then we've got to run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us. Sometimes it's hard to put one step in front of another, in front of another. You get weary, you get tired. You say, Jesus, is it worth it? I want to tell you, it's worth it. It's worth every step. So keep putting down footprints because there's a race that is set before us. And how are we going to do it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, following his footsteps. Following his footsteps wherever he leads. And with a glance back, knowing there's others following me. If as long as I can keep following Jesus, I'll know that I'm leading those behind me in a good direction. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jan. Now we can have some music if you don't mind. Praise the Lord. If you'll bow your head for just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer in just a second of dismissal. But as we bow our heads before the Lord, I want us to take just a look inside and ask ourselves this question. Have we been leaving good footprints in the sand? And if we haven't, then right now I invite you to invite the Savior to come and say, Jesus, help me to lay down some good footprints. Where I have laid down footprints of impatience or footprints of bitterness or footprints of anger or animosity, help me to start laying down footprints of patience and of joy and of trust and of faith. Help me, Lord, because I realize there are those coming behind me and I want to leave good footprints for them. I can't do it by myself, Jesus, but I know that you can help me. And I'm going to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, to help me put down good footprints. Father, you see every heart this morning. You see all of us. And I'll be first in line to say, Lord, I have not always put down the best footprints. I'll be honest and say, Lord, there have been times that I've needed you to correct me so that I could get back on the straight and narrow, as it were. But I am so grateful that every time I called on you, you were there. And I'm thankful this morning, Lord, that we can put down footprints. And it's essential that we do so because there are those that are following us and we want to lead them to the cross. And the only way we can lead them to the cross is to follow the footprints of Jesus. And so, Lord, if we get anything at all out of the lesson this morning, help us to keep following the footsteps of Jesus by doing the best we can to follow Christ, to be a faithful follower of Jesus, to read your word and to try to follow its precepts. And when we fall down, when we make a mistake, to ask you to help us and forgive us, dust us off and keep us going again. And Lord, with that anticipation that you will give us another opportunity so we will make good footprints in the sands of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And let's thank the Lord for his goodness today. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. And if we don't see you before, we'll see you next Sunday in God's house. Have a great day. Thank you for coming.